Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back, listeners, to the podcast of Three Men for Thee in the Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. And we are so excited today. This is another first for us, Jack. This is, again, Cornelius, one of our first recently was we had our first musical group on. And now we have our first movie producer on. So you are the first movie producer. So, listeners, this is Cornelius Mueller, actor, producer, director of Christian and faith-based movies, and he's been and appeared in other movies as well. And we're going to have a really interesting dialogue, and Jack usually starts our questions off. So, Jack, go ahead and lead us off.
So, Cornelius, our very first question that we usually ask is because we are so excited when we hear about how our Lord reaches out and finds people. You know, the book of Romans teaches that nobody seeks after God. It's God who seeks after us. And so it's an exciting story to hear how people come to Christ. So, Cornelius, tell us your story. How did you come to Christ?
I born and raised in New York City, born in the early 70s, grew up in the crack epidemic of Brooklyn, when crack had just come out, which was a tragic tale in the neighborhood, to say the least. You know, many people had used the drugs, were killed by the drugs. The rival drug dealers and gangs were rampant at the time. But Mom had always had my brother and I in church every Sunday. We would, you know, walk down one block and take the B-26 to a church called Bible Way by Bishop Huey L. Rogers. Back at that time, it was about 200, 300 people, which back in the late 70s, early 80s, that was considered a mega church. There weren't many churches as big as that. So, you know, grew up in the church. On one Sunday, I think I was 12 or 13 years old. I guess I had that goosebump type feeling when the altar call at the end of the, you know, at the end of service. And I just felt led to go down and give my life to Christ. And then on the same day, you had the opportunity to get baptized. They had this big tank at the top of the, you know, at the top of the church where everybody can just look up there until you get baptized. So that was my first walk with Christ. But like most teenagers, didn't really know what I signed up for, what have you. Though I was a regular at church and still stayed in church pretty much my whole life. But I think as I got older, more so after college, when I really started realizing that, you know, I was a Christian in name, but not necessarily in deed or trying to apply the precepts and concepts of the Bible.
Wow, that's an amazing story. I'm a little bit prejudiced when I hear about New York. I have these preconceived. I've been to New York City one time in my life, and I was there for 3 days.
Okay.
And it was an experience, and it was in 1988 when I was there. So it's been a while. It's an amazing city, to say the least. And its history is full of stories like yours. Some of the great pastors who pastored churches in New York City, some of their sermons and some of their writings are still with us today. The influence of music from New York City. It's a business. I don't have to tell you these things. You're from there and you know what it is. But how was it that you got, first of all, tell us where you went to school and what you majored in. And then how was it that you got interested in this vocation that you have now?
So my growing up in New York City, I went to middle school, a PE teacher who was a female, Jennifer Jones. She taught me how to play basketball, and that was very, very important at that time because
a woman taught you how to play basketball.
a woman had a trouble medical
background.
And Herb, ironically, to this day, now she coaches baseball. To this day, she's the only female boys baseball coach for high school in New York City to this day.
Wow.
So she taught me how to play basketball. She got me linked up. After I got pretty decent, got me linked up to one of the, at the time, world-famous travel teams called the New York City Gauchos and Riverside Church. And these two programs in New York City has had more NBA basketball plays to this day than any other AU program. So wow. All-boys school would have you. And at that time, my all-boys school afforded me the opportunity to go to school because it was a private. It was a Catholic school. And at that time, I believe it was about $4,000 a year, which is equivalent to $20,000 a year. You know, so it was very, very expensive. Yeah. So basketball is really what got me out of the hood, for lack of better words, because when I tell people about New York City or the inner city or the ghettos of New York City, when you grow up in it, you don't know any better. But until you get out of it and start traveling and realize that people live a lot differently, and then, you know, then I understood. But out of high school, I went to all boys school, Severian High School in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn. Then I got a basketball scholarship to Western Carolina. So I played 2 years at Western Carolina,
wow.
Transferred, coach got fired, ended up transferring to Elon where I graduated. And then moved back to North Carolina, you know, several years ago.
So when were you at Elon?
I was at Elon from 90 to 93. I was there for 3 years, Western Carolina from 88 to 90. So, Jack, I was, you know, in New York City, I was a senior in high school in 1988. That's when I graduated. And wow. I then went on to, it's been a long time ago,
Okay. Did y'all ever play Davidson College?
I didn't, but, Elon has played Davidson since I want to say we played Davidson when I was at Western Carolina. I'm almost positive we did. I don't remember if they were in the Southern Conference or not back at the time, but I know
they were,
after that, I knew they did because that was big, of course, when Steph Curry came to Elon. That was the biggest ticket in town.
Well, I just got to tell you, my son set the scoring record at Davidson College until until some guy – came along and broke it by one by the name of Stephon Curry.
I mean, well, he's in good company. If Steph broke it, he's in good company.
Well, then, so how did you transition from the ball to the movie reel?
So coming out of New York City, I was actually a pretty good basketball player. I was voted Brooklyn Player of the Year, 5 boroughs in New York City, New York Newsday Brooklyn Player of the Year. So growing up, it was almost, you know, most people think of a guaranteed playing at the next level, meaning at a big Division I program and on the pros. In fact, out of the top 6 players in my class, I was the only one that didn't make it to the NBA. However, Elon, on my birthday, my last year at Elon, I got a letter from the NBA, Marty Blake, who was the director of scouting, saying that my name was on the book to get drafted. So why Western Carolina, if you're New York Newsday Brooklyn Player of the Year, I went from being heavily recruited from the Syracuse, St. John's, Iowa, NC State. Didn't have the best attitude in high school. Didn't realize that as a 17, 18-year-old cocky athlete, that not having a great attitude and your coach was the liaison between any of the colleges. So I remember going on an AAU trip and PJ Colisimo at the time, who was the coach of Seton Hall. He years later became the coach of the Knicks and the Golden State Warriors. That famous story where him and Latrell Sprewell was the first NBA guy to actually beat up an NBA coach. He had asked my AAU coach, what was the deal with Cornelius? Back in 1989, graduated, Seton Hall went to the finals against Michigan. So they were a top 20 program. And my AU coach said he was a good kid. And the PJ Colisimo said, well, his high school coach apparently thinks differently. So I went from being recruited from major universities to nothing. So thus, Western Carolina. So even after the failed stint at Western Carolina, had a really good 2 years at Elon, was on the draft list, didn't get drafted, had some opportunities to play overseas, and I did. Not mature enough mentally, emotionally to live away from home, and also the disappointment. So depression sat in. So I said I wanted to be an actor because how do you give up opportunities to play basketball? And I still thought at that time that there was a possibility that I would get into the training camp of the Portland Trailblazers and the Denver Nuggets, who had come to see me play often at Elon. So I said I want to be an actor because it sounded like the next best thing. It sounded really cool. And lo and behold, I think the word is serendipity that, you end up doing something that you had no idea you were going to do. So as I tried it, realized I was horrible at it. Not that I'm much better now, but there were some key signs along the way when I made that decision that this is indeed where God wanted me all along, which was in the arts.
Wow. Well, I have been interested in film ever since I was a kid. Mm. And I did some high school and college plays. So I was never much that interested in acting per se, but I was interested really in the production part of it, the directing part. And for a while, I was a, believe it or not, I was a makeup artist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I had taken it up because I was a big fan of the Universal horror pictures of the 40s.
Oh, wow.
With Dracula, the Wolfman, all that.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of stuff. And I was amazed when I was a kid and I would see Lon Chaney sort of suddenly change into this creature. Dracula acted the way and looked the way that he did and all the special effects. I just became enamored with that. And I at one time thought, well, you know, I bought a book and it was by a fellow by the name of Dick Smith, who actually won an Academy Award for the makeup that he did on The Godfather.
Oh, wow.
And he had written a book on makeup, and I was into it. I bought all the supplies. I was making people up at Halloween and doing all this and making myself up as well and doing those things. But as time went by and the Lord opened some doors, I decided to go off to Christian College and began to explore those opportunities. But I've never lost my interest in the backside of films and production and how things are put together. So my friend, you are a fascinating fellow to me because you have put it together and you have been able to actually produce films. So tell us, how does that work? I know you must get funding and you come up with ideas and maybe you write your own scripts and things like, can you tell us about that?
Sure. The first film, so when I got involved in deciding I want to be an actor, did some classes for years, and then along the way, just asking God, how could he use me to be an instrument within the industry, not realizing that, you know, Hollywood and God typically are not mentioned in the same vein most of the time. Yeah. So there was a tragic event that happened about 14 years ago. My brother had killed his girlfriend, then he killed himself.
Oh.
And at that time, there was about 9 to 13 signs that said Brother's Keeper. I open a book on a random page, Brother's Keeper. Somebody I stand next to, you know, in the on the, you know, coming from New York on the plane, Brother's Keeper. So I felt like God was really talking to me about that story. So that was my first introduction into producing a movie myself. You know, the story was Brother's Keeper, a story of love, of ultimate love, faith, and forgiveness. Though, if you IMDb that title, there's been about 14 movies by the name of Brother's Keeper made. But I just want, so it was a short film. We opened it up at a local church. About 2,500 people came out. And then I realized that was, you know, the opening. But as far as you're talking about, it's a very difficult venture to make a film. However, I do believe that God has put the right people in my path, because I'm not a formally trained screenwriter, director, producer, but I've been able to, I don't want to use the term wing it, but I've been able to have the right people that know what they're doing to now bring these stories to life. And I wouldn't say good ideas. I would like to say most of my stories up to this day, this being our fourth film, our biggest one yet, making them famous. I would say God ideas. Stories that have been impressed upon my heart several times, you know, over and over and over, just by going to church or listening to, you know, various preachers on podcasts. So that's where the stories come up. I very rarely, in fact, I never sat down and said, well, this would be a good idea for a Christian film. That's never happened.
Hmm. Wow. You know,
Jack.
That's amazing. I got to tell you, brother, I'm blown away. That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, Jack was talking about his film connection. Well, I've got a little film connection too. When I was at Forsyth Tech, we were this close to having a major movie studio locate to Winston-Salem.
Wow.
And because we were going to provide them carpentry students to build sets and electricians for lighting. And I was teaching special effects and animation at the college as well. And then our governor kind of did away with the tax incentives for the film industry. And you know what happened. Did that impact you all at all during that period?
Not really, because mine's is independent. And Jack, you, part of your first part of the question, as far as the funding, what have you, you know, contributions and investors. So as far as the tax rebate, I want to say it was several hundred thousand dollars or to $1 million before you get a benefit from that. But because of the kindness of a lot of people in North Carolina, obviously being one of the prettiest states within the 50 states, you have the mountains and the, you know, the beaches, you know, 2.5 hours, you know, from each other, you know, I'm centrally located in between both. It didn't really affect me per se, but I think it affected the industry as a whole, because when I actually moved back here after graduating from Elon years later, I moved back with the thoughts I would be an actor, because North Carolina, outside of LA and New York, was producing the third amount of films and movie productions. That has since gone to Georgia, of course. In fact, Georgia, the last several years, have produced more productions than any place in the world. Hollywood production companies come to Georgia, utilize the rebates, you know, go back home to Hollywood or what have you. But as far as any, most of the TV shows, you see with that peach on the back end, that's what that means.
Yeah.
But it didn't affect me. But now that we have two Christians that are running for governor, my hope is, I met former Congressman Mark Walker several weeks ago. I haven't met the lead, Mark Robinson, just yet, but I'm hoping at some point that I can sit down with either one, whoever wins, and try to, you know, bring that back to the state of North Carolina, because we certainly need it. And North Carolina is a great place to, you know, for the film industry.
Tell our listeners where your studio is located.
I'm in Burlington, North Carolina, in between the Greensboro and Durham, right in Burlington, you know, 3 or 4 miles from Elon University.
Awesome. Awesome. So what was your most memorable film aha moment?
I want to say the first film, The Reception, that we had, though it was based on a tragic story, but just to realize that we opened up to that amount of people. And then we were able to take that film to many churches throughout North Carolina and South Carolina, with folks really being affected. The story is loosely based on the true story of my brother. For example, Herb, if you can think about, like, my brother kills your sister, you and I best friends. How do we keep our relationship going, being Christian brothers? It's easy to say that, but when it happens in real life, there's a totally different ball game. So I've actually went to at least two or three places that we showed up from, these small churches, you know, in the back country, and a 80-year-old guy come up and say, you know what, that happened to my granddaughter, that happened to my cousin or something, and this movie has really softened my heart because I have not been able to get over what had happened 50, 60 years ago. So I think it wasn't a happy aha moment per se, but it was, I knew this is where I would, you know, what I was called to do.
Yeah. I think our listeners also need to know the heart that you have as well. You know, a percentage of many of your films, if not all your films, a percentage of it goes to help other organizations and communities in North Carolina. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Our first film, based upon, because it was based on my brother's true life, it's a domestic violence place. It's not coming to my mind right here in Burlington. I believe we only have one. Maybe it'll come to my mind in between. I hadn't really thought about it in about the 12 years that we shot that film. And the other two places that, you know, our film mission is to create sustainable income to fund charities like Feed the Hunger and standout ministries that build water wells throughout the, you know, all over the world. So that's what the idea as far as the profits. But the most important thing of the mission of our film company is to point people to Christ. Granted, our films up to this day have been Christian films. We have a lot of good Christian films coming out, but we don't have the films that Christians can bring non-believers without necessarily getting beat over the head with the Bible. However, with a Holy Spirit, you know, message behind it, and let that do its job and come to know Christ that way. And that's been the challenge, because most people, we don't really think about, you know, we have the Christians and the non-Christians in media, but who is doing the work to bring the non-Christian? Because the same thing, if you know, a non-Christian may not want to go see The Chosen or want to watch, because they already know beforehand this is about Jesus Christ. But if they know they're coming to a movie and it is gospel, you know, based on the gospel, matter of fact, if they don't know, but if the gospel speaks to them in a way that they can understand it without them knowing, then my job has been done.
I want to visit the technical side for a second if we can.
Absolutely.
I'd like to, when you shot your first film, which I think you indicated was about 12 years ago. Did you shoot that on 16 millimeter 35 or did you use digital?
Believe it or not, we shot it on a red camera back back then. The red camera had just come out. I don't know what, you know, I don't know much about the technical, but I do know red is one of two or three cameras that they use in Hollywood. And in fact, I was using, another Elon grad who was much younger than me had just bought the camera. Camera probably cost about $100,000 back then, at least. And that's what we shot it on, a red camera.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, today with so many things being digital and being with computers, and it's a whole different world than when I was a kid. And
thought
about, we actually, I laugh about it now, but I had a friend that had a home movie camera, and we actually shot a film that's long since disappeared somewhere on a 16 millimeter film.
Yeah, but
it was a crazy story, and I had a very, very, very small part in it. But it was, and doing the makeup behind the scenes and these kinds of things. These are some things that Brother Herb has never heard me say before. But just this topic, the subject has brought it all back to mind, and how strongly I felt about it then. And like I said, I had considered just packing up when I was a single guy and heading out to California just to try my luck, just to see. But I never did, and thank God I didn't. That wasn't really my vocation or calling to be. But enough about me. Let's go back over to you. So I want to see some of these films. So how best can our listeners find your films, and do we purchase them? Do we rent them? How does that work?
Okay. So on the first one, Brother's Keeper, it was not done in the fashion. It was my first film. I didn't know what I didn't know at the time. So it wasn't good enough to sell it to a streamer. However, Sacred Hearts was,
that was your third film.
And that premiered on PureFlix last February. I want to say February 13th. So you can find Sacred Hearts on PureFlix. Find a Way, our second film, my first feature film, that was on PureFlix for years. You can find that on Tubi right now. It still may be on PureFlix. I believe it or not, I don't watch a lot of the PureFlix stuff. I should, because they have some great content. And you might be able to get that one on Amazon Prime as well. I know it was on Amazon Prime for years. Our most recent film, we're doing somewhat, I don't want to say a re-release or an extended release. We released it in North Carolina back in March. It was in Greensboro, Durham, Raleigh, Charlotte. So now it's coming back to North Carolina, all the key cities, Wilmington, Indian Trail, Raleigh, Durham, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, Graham, North Carolina, in Charlotte. Yes, those are with the exception of the mountains. We didn't get a chance to screen it yet in Asheville. So it'll be back in theaters September 15th.
Is that the film Making Him Famous?
Yes, sir. And, our listeners can go to makinghimfamousmovie.com, and the dates and the locations of the theaters will be on there. And after the, followed by that, it'll be on most major streamers, PureFlix, Tubi, sometime in November. So people get a chance to check it out that way as well. There's nothing like a theater experience.
Yeah, that's on the cool video, I'll post a link to your website so they can, purchase the films and tickets on your website, I believe.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And you're working on another one now. Was it Buddy Against All Odds?
Buddy Against All Odds is based on a true story of he just turned 79 about 3 weeks ago, born with cerebral palsy, and is talking about beating the odds. And the difference between Buddy, I was just talking to the one of my producers and writers of our film. We always see the story of the underdog, but Buddy's story as an underdog is unlike most stories of the, somebody with a handicap that's been able to succeed. It's just a phenomenal story. So though, out of North Carolina, it certainly has a universal appeal to believers and non-believers alike.
Mm.
Wow. Well, I'm excited. this is great. I'm just sorry that I hadn't heard of all these things before. I need to start paying more attention to what's going on in the Christian realm as opposed to what's coming out of Hollywood. So that's super. I'm a film collector. I have
Jack is a film collector, trust me.
yeah, I've got about 1,500 films in my collection.
That's a film collector. 1,500. That's a film collector.
Yeah, it's a little easier today than it used to be. I started out buying videotapes, and then when the DVDs came along, and then the software came along to be able to convert to MP4, right. Which is what I like to do now. And you may laugh at this. My influence on my class, of which Herb, I'm proud to have Herb as a class member in my class. We have about 80 folks, 70 to 80 on any given Sunday in my Sunday school class. But we have a once a month film night, of which take one of the rooms at church, and we set up a projector and all this. We show films. So believe me, brother, yours are going to be you got some folks here who are going to be seeing your films before too long.
Well, I appreciate it.
Jack also has friends that gets together with once a week and shows films too.
Yeah,
man, that's great. That's great. Well, we appreciate the support, the encouragement, and sharing the word. The one difficult that we have experienced, it being Christian films, trying to get the word out is so, so difficult, so challenging. And Christians want to see films, sometimes penetrating, you know, churches, trying to get the people that make the decisions to pass the word is very challenging. So every opportunity I get like this to come on, it is more than appreciated.
I can't remember. There's also a donate link on your website too, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah. There is a link on there. And with anything, you know, money's key. One of the questions, Herb, how do I get to make that film to captivate the unbeliever heart is money. You can get any name actor you want in Hollywood, but before you get to the actor, when you call that agency, Herb, show me a proof of letter of certified funds from your bank before I give the script to Denzel. They don't want to talk about your ideas, your good ideas. Show me the money. Show me the money.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was excited because I didn't know too much about Randy Quaid's brother, Dennis Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
And he was on Fox News a few weeks back, and he was talking openly about his faith. I didn't even know he was a Christian, but I'd noticed that he had been appearing in a number of Christian films lately.
He has one coming out this Friday as well.
Yeah, I was going, you know, what's up with this? And then I did a little investigative work and then saw him on one of the shows, Sean Hannity, whatever. And he gave his testimony, and I thought I was just blown away. I go, wow, that's fantastic that he's involved in Christian films and wanting to get the word out about his faith and all these things. So it's wonderful that there are folks like you and him and others out there who are working to try to get the word out through this fantastic, I think it is, a wonderful medium that we call film.
Yes, yes. Jack, if you're able to, I don't know where you are. You located in the Triad or North Carolina?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I live in Winston-Salem.
Okay, if you are able to come see the film on the 15th, a lot of people, because some faith-based films have not done that well, or sometimes we say, they're Christians, you know, give them a pass. This is not a Junk for Jesus film. It is good. And I'm not saying because I'm one of the producers. It is that good.
So it's going to be in Winston?
So much better. Yeah, come on the 15th. I believe it's the Winston Grand on September 15th. And of course, if you can, you know, encourage churchgoers, the same thing. We have to have a big Friday, Saturday. If we don't have the big Friday, Saturday, it's till Thursday and it's done. Because typically most people don't frequent the movies Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, unless they're retired or have nothing better else to do. But the big days are Fridays and Saturdays. So if you, please share the word, pass the word along.
We will.
You will not regret the theater.
No, believe me, we will. Okay. I know right where the Grand Theater is. It's one of the better theaters around in our area as well.
Is this the Grand 18?
Yes, sir. The Grand 18.
Grand 18. Okay. Yes. Awesome.
So that's
awesome.
Great. We'll be pushing this with the class with
Thank
other
you.
Members of our class, as I said, is somewhere on any given Sunday between 70 and 80 people. And that's kind of like a small church almost,
That really is. That really is.
For a class and, of course, related family members and other things. So we can really try to help you out with this in this area. We want to keep in contact. We don't want this to be the last of this. I'm excited. You got me excited here, and I'm going, man, I want to try to help this guy. I want to try to promote him because he's trying to do a work for our Lord, trying to get the work out. The word out. And again, it's a marvelous medium to be able to do that. And God bless you, sir, for your calling and what you're trying to do.
Thank you.
So, what kind of message do you want to leave our listeners with as we begin to close up here?
Hey, it's, we're all one in one person that's born is going to die. Making them famous. We live in a culture today that celebrities and athletes and everybody's famous except Jesus Christ. So the most important thing is, for us to serve and life of purpose. And that's what our film is about. And that's what my life is about. Just, wanting to point people to Christ, for those that don't go to church.
Well, we have listeners all over the United States. We have listeners in over 23 countries around the world. So this message is going to be spread, I'm sure. And I hope it catches on fire and spreads.
I appreciate it, Herb. And Herb, I'm on page 23 of the book. But after the 15th, I promise you, I'll get it done. I have not forgotten about it, but I'm on page 23. I think that's somewhere in chapter 4.
Okay, well, when we get off the air, I'm going to tell you something about the book in a minute. Okay.
Sounds great.
Okay. Again, listeners, what a wonderful interview we've had today with Cornelius Mueller. And I'm going to post the link on the video so you can get to Cornelius Mueller production website, CMP. And on that link, you can see their story. You can see projects. You can shop with them. You can contact them. So there's even a preview there of a movie now playing, Making Him Famous. So you can look at that preview clip. And reminder, September the 15th in Winston-Salem. So Jack, I have to post this ahead of some of our others so that we can get this out there sooner
than
later.
We need to get this out ASAP.
So again, Cornelius, thank you very much for your time and your talents spreading.
Amen. And we'll, as I said, we'll be back in touch before too awful.
Sounds great. Jack, it's a pleasure to meet you, man. Thank you so
pleasure.
Much. Brother.
Pleasure.
Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Bless you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have to admit at some time, some place, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves.
Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.' No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, 'Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.' Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.